Well, I want us to consider this evening on this, the first Lord's Day of a new year, that opening line from the 21st verse of Exodus chapter 13. A set of words which I hope will be of help to us as we think about the year opening up in prospect. Those words, "The Lord went before them." The Lord went before them. We find that the children of Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. For generation after generation, they had known nothing but slavery and bondage, the toil of the Egyptian masters as they worked for the Egyptians, building and laboring under much sweat and toil and hardship. And yet they had then witnessed how God had brought Moses as their leader and how he had demonstrated his miraculous power through these 10 plagues which had struck the land. And we have them vividly described for us in the preceding chapters, how the rivers turned to blood, how the flies descended into the houses of the Egyptians, how the cattle were slain, how the darkness fell upon the land, so dark that people could not even leave their properties. And yet after these plagues had come, Pharaoh expelled, as it were, the Israelites. He kicked them out of the land. He asked them and told them to leave, which they had been wanting to do for some time. And now they stood finally liberated and about to embark on this journey under the leadership of Moses. They had left the cruel but no doubt familiar surroundings of Egypt, and they stood, as it were, at the start of a new era, a new chapter in their lives, a new chapter both in their individual but also in their collective experiences. And I'm sure that they were full of excitement at the prospect of what awaited them, but also I'm sure that they were filled with terror. A terror of the unknown, a terror of the uncertainty of leaving behind the life that they had known, the only experience that they had ever had. And I'm sure their hearts were full of burning questions, and they wondered and talked amongst themselves as they fled out of Egypt. How will we make it through the wilderness? How will we be able to survive the blistering heat of the desert with the midday sun? How will we find our journey through that wilderness? How will we cope when the temperatures drop at night? How can we survive with so many hostile countries and nations around about who will want to fight and plunder from us? What happens if the mercurial Pharaoh changes his mind again and suddenly sends his army after us? I'm sure these were burning questions which were concerning all of the children of Israel as they stood on the cusp of this new era. They were valid questions. They were legitimate questions. They were questions which I'm sure we ourselves would have asked had we been among them and part of their company. But we find here the answer to all of their questions in the text that we have. The Lord went before them. The Lord was their portion. The Lord provided the answer and the way and the resolution to the concerns and the fears that they had. And perhaps for us, on this first Lord's Day of 2021, we feel a little bit like those children of Israel. We look back at the difficulties of the last year and we think about some of the challenges that we faced in what was clearly an unprecedented 12 months. But perhaps we look with hope and with confidence, but also with concern and trepidation when we think about the months ahead, the year that is opening up before us. I'm sure, like the children of Israel, as they were pleased to see the back of Egypt, we are somewhat pleased to see the back of 2020, perhaps. I saw an advert at a bus stop which said, all I want for Christmas is 2021. And I think that there's a lot of people who feel like that, and perhaps some of us are among them. We look forward to a fresh start. We look forward to the hope of the vaccine. And yet perhaps we also feel that we have many of those same burdens, many of those same fears which we had this time last week or this time last month when we were still back then in the previous year. And so, like the children of Israel, our hearts might be full of questions, excitement and fear and concerns. And whatever we think about the year in prospect, however we feel, we can take comfort and consolation from the words of our text, the Lord went before them, knowing that it is the same unchanging and unchangeable God who was the God of the children of Israel, who is our God and who has not changed. And we know that 1,000 years is as a day. We heard that mentioned this morning. And the same God of old is the God of today. And so then let's have a look at this. Let's look at how the Lord went before them and also what we can learn of God as a result of his dealings with his people in the form of how he supported them, how he led them through this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night and this journey that they took out of Egypt. Well, the first thing that we can see here is the providence of God. The providence of God. Because the journey from Egypt to Canaan could have been a far shorter one than the journey that actually took place. God could have taken them through the land of the Philistines. But we read in Exodus 13 and verse 17 that God decided not to take them through the land of the Philistines, mindful that, it says, although that was near, God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. The people were not ready for that experience. They were not ready for physical combat or conflict. And so God took them through a longer route, a more difficult path they had to traverse. And it was not the quickest route. It was not the shortest route. It was not the easiest route. But it was the best route. It was the route that God had chosen for them. And while it may have been physically exhausting, while it may have been physically demanding, yet it was the route that carried much spiritual blessing with it. For it was there in the wilderness, it was there in their journeys that they witnessed so many of the miracles that God was to work. The manna that came down, the feeding of them in that desert, the water from the rock, the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses. And so God took them through a longer path, through a more challenging path, but a path that ultimately would prove to be a blessing in their lives. And perhaps we sometimes wonder why the path that we walk is so difficult, why there seems to be a delay in perhaps the prayers that we make, why the road is not as easy as it could be. But yet we know that God takes us through the path that is right for us. And therefore we must seek to reap the spiritual harvest of the path and the journey that we are taking. For while it may not be the quickest or the easiest, it will always be the best one. But the route that they had to take was difficult, and it was one where they needed some sort of guide. How could you go through the wilderness without a map? How can you go without signposts, without landmarks? And as they walked across the desert, there weren't signposts saying promised land 200 kilometers. They needed some guidance. They needed a lead. They needed somebody to show them as they walked across that barren wasteland. And that was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was God leading them in this wonderful way. Better than any compass, better than any GPS, was the omniscient God, the God who led them in the way. And so we see his providence in the way that he led them through a difficult path, but a good path nevertheless. And so we see the providence of God, but we also see here the provision of God. The provision of God. For there was much need that the people had. They needed to be led. They needed to be given guidance through the path. But nevertheless, there were other needs that they had as well. And the fiery, cloudy pillar met their needs in so many wonderful ways. The cloud was there not just to lead them, but it also protected them from the heat of the sun. And it's easy for us to forget that, isn't it? Just how blisteringly hot that wilderness would have been. How the sun would have scorched down upon them. How shade was at such a premium and so hard to find there in the wilderness. I was reading recently the work of a Polish journalist, Ryszard Kapuściński, who spent a lot of time in the continent of Africa and writing about his experience in Dar es Salaam and just how hot it was. And I thought this must be something of how the children of Israel would have felt had there not been that pillar of cloud to take the heat from them. He says the heat was dreadful. And it was impossible to walk for any length of time. There is no air to breathe. Your legs grow weak. Your shirt drips with sweat. After an hour of wandering around, you're fed up with everything. You have but one desire left, to sit down somewhere in the shade. And then a thought strikes you. Do the inhabitants of the north appreciate what a treasure they possess in that grey, drab, perpetually cloudy sky, with its one great miraculous advantage, that there is no sun in it? And I'm sure that so often we are not appreciative of the drab grey weather. Maybe we should be more appreciative of it. I'm sure that the children of Israel were appreciative of the cloudy shade that was afforded to them by a God's pillar of cloud that was there to protect them. But the wilderness was not just known for its great heat. It was also known for sudden swings of temperature. And at night, the wilderness, the desert, becomes terrifyingly cold, with temperatures able to go below zero. And here, what do we find at night? Not a pillar of cloud, but a pillar of fire, to give them light, perhaps which kept away wild animals, but also to give them that heat that no doubt they would have needed. And how miraculous it is that God met their needs in this remarkable way. The God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the same God who had met the needs of the patriarchs, now meeting their needs there during this Exodus, during this journey through the wilderness. And we're reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm sure that each of us will have different needs throughout the year in prospect. But we have the God who knows what we need and who meets our need in his perfect will. So we see the providence and the provision of God. But we also find in the form of God's presence through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, we see the protection of God as well. because we read in the following chapter, Exodus chapter 14, that Pharaoh, as he was wont to do, had a change of heart. And no sooner had the children of Israel left Egypt than he changed his mind once again. And he ordered his great and powerful army to pursue after them and to bring them back, to return them to captivity in what would likely have been a great slaughter as well, one would imagine, a violent return back to Egypt. And we find then that in that wonderful way in which God opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel to go across, and yet we then see that the armies of Egypt are closing in and chasing them down. But we find in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night." And so that pillar of cloud, the presence of God, moved from leading them at the front of the caravan, as it were, to the back, and protected those at the rear. And we read that there were 600,000 men, plus others, of course, the women and the children, the herds, the cattle, the flocks, all leaving in this great exodus. And we can imagine the sorts of people who were perhaps at the back of this large crowd. It would have been the weakest. It would have been the most frail. It may have been those who were sick and elderly who were at the back of this journey. And perhaps the youngest and the strongest were those who were right behind Moses as they marched on through the sea. And here, what a wonderful reminder that is to us, that perhaps this evening we feel weak and vulnerable. We may feel frail and concerned. And yet here we find that God was looking after the very weakest and the most vulnerable of his people. And we find that God was light to Israel and darkness to the Egyptians. The Egyptians could not come near the Israelites. They could not harm them. And we're reminded of the words in Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." And that was certainly true for the children of Israel as they went through the Red Sea. And the presence of God, as it was light to Israel and darkness to Egypt, reminds us that the gospel is a savour of life to some and of death to others. And in his glory, we find there is light, but we also find that judgment and justice in God as well. And yet here we see that great protection, don't we? That protection of his people. I was recently reading the remarkable autobiography Left to Tell of a survivor of the genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda in 1994 by a lady called Immaculée Ilibagiza. And remarkably, she was in the ensuite bathroom of a pastor with five other women in hiding throughout the 3 months of the genocide. And she spent those months in prayer, earnestly praying to God, and how God protected her and preserved her in the most miraculous way, as day after day and week after week, the genocidaires, the perpetrators, the killers came into the house, even calling her name, looking for her, and the way that God remarkably protected her. And we're reminded in the Psalms, aren't we, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And as we embark on this new year, perhaps we too have concerns. Perhaps we too are worried about what might take place. But we're reminded that God is the God who is our great protector and one who cares for each of us. And while we may feel like the weakest of the children of Israel, at the back of the group, we may feel downtrodden, we may feel marginalized within a society, but God cares for all his people. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He is the great God of providence and the God of provision and the God of protection. But we also find, fourthly here, the presence of God as well. Because we find in this cloudy and fiery pillar that it represents the presence of God. The very presence of God was with his people. It was the Shekinah. It was the dwelling or the settling of the very presence of God. And we know, of course, that God is omnipresent. We read of that, don't we, in the 139th Psalm, that wherever we go, we cannot flee from God's presence. That in itself is a great comfort to us, I'm sure, that wherever we are in the world, wherever we may be, we might feel that we are unknown to anybody. We might feel lonely. We might feel destitute. But we are there in the presence of God. We can never flee or hide or run from his presence. But here we find the omnipresent God in particular and especially residing there in his glory and in his presence, there in that cloudy and fiery pillar with his people. What a wonderful demonstration and wonderful evidence of his presence as they journeyed through the wilderness. Matthew Henry described this as the manifestation of the eternal word, which in the fullness of time was to be made flesh. And how wonderful a thought that is. But what's also remarkable is that we read in verse 22 of Exodus 13, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And it might be easy to read that verse and move seamlessly on to the 14th chapter and think nothing more of it. But when we pause and reflect for a moment and think how fickle the children of Israel were during their journeying through the wilderness, how the more remarkable it is that God did not take away the pillar of cloud and did not take away the pillar of fire by night. And we know that the people complained. It seemed they hadn't gone 5 minutes into the wilderness when we read the book of Exodus, and they complained. We read time and again the people murmured. They spoke ill of Moses. They spoke ill of the Lord. And they wondered why they'd been led into the wilderness to die. And they thought it would be better for us to have stayed in Egypt. Time and again they complained. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the miraculous plagues that had been wrought. And yet still they murmured, still they complained, still they demonstrated a lack of faith in the goodness and in the provision of God. But while they were so often fickle, while they were so often unfaithful, God remained the same. God remained faithful. He did not take away the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire by night. Despite all of the rebellion, despite them turning their backs time and time again on God, he remained true to them. And this is picked up actually in the book of Nehemiah, who writes in chapter 9, verse 19, yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day, to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night, to show them light and the way they should go,
You also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell.
And just as throughout those 40 years, God provided for them, he protected them, his presence remained with them, so God has promised to be our guide. God has promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us. We know that God is faithful, and faithfulness is one of his glorious attributes. It is who God is, and God is faithful, and we can rest and rely on the faithfulness of God. Hudson Taylor, that great missionary to China, used to say, "Hold on to the faithfulness of God. When you have no faith in yourself, hold on to his faithfulness." And so we can do that, can't we? In the year ahead, we can hold on to the faithfulness of God. He's given to us the Holy Spirit to abide in us and with us. And whatever we face in this year ahead, we have the presence of God. And so as we look out to the year in prospect, as we begin 2021, we acknowledge that there will be challenges and difficulties. And we wouldn't seek to sugarcoat what might lie ahead. We wouldn't seek to deny the hardships and the challenges and the difficulties. Who could have known what would have faced us last year when we think back but 12 months? And the children of Israel didn't know what they were going to face. They didn't know the challenges that they would have between leaving Egypt and moving into the promised land. And yet the Lord went before them every step of the way to guide and to guard. And so similarly, he goes before us and with us. We have the God of providence, the God of provision, the God of protection, and the ever-present God. And surely then, as we face the future, we can echo the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Amen. Our concluding hymn this evening is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land." And the hymn writer says in the second verse, "Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through." And the congregation, we can remain seated and sing inwardly, and at home we can join in and sing this great hymn.
I am weak, but thou art mighty. Oh, be with me.
Eternal God, who makest all things new and abidest forever the same, grant us to begin this year in thy faith and to continue it in thy favour, that being guided in all our doings and guarded all our days, we may spend our lives in thy service and finally by thy grace attain the glory of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.